This is Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. The race for World First Glory is underway. I interview the hosts from My Epic Heels as they hit 50 episodes, and you'll find out what hashtag WowP5 is all about. This is Realm Maintenance number 31.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, priests and paladins, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. An extra dose of interviews on this week's show means I'm going to keep my early rambling brief, so let's get rolling right now with a look at one of the more interesting changes that popped up early last week. Here is the rolling restart. Amongst the many hotfixes made to servers this past week was the following. Players visiting a different realm are no longer eligible to receive loot from Undasta or Nalak the Stormlord. Now, for someone like myself, this isn't a huge deal personally. It kinda helps when you're on one of the larger realms out there, at least as far as Horde side goes. Now, I know you can't please all of the people all of the time, and when Blizzard makes changes, they have to think about the majority of the player base, but this change is tough on realms that have a low population, whether it's on one faction or both. Players from low-pop realms originally would have had the opportunity to bring down the big dinosaur by hopping to a realm with a higher population thanks to Battletag or Real ID friends. Now, technically they can still do this, but there's just no incentive for doing so. Quoting the blue post that explained the reason for this change, it says, "The amount of people concentrating on a single realm to try to zerg these bosses down can unfortunately cause a number of stability issues, impacting the availability of the game for everyone." Now, I'm confused on that. Undasta was designed to be fought by multiple raid teams. The whole tag to faction change was even put into 5.2 to support the design for this world boss that has over 850 million HP. High pop realms are going to have well over 100 players fighting this boss at the same time. Now personally, I've been witness to events with that much action going on, and yes, it does create stability issues. My point being, on high pop realms, people are still going to try to zerg down the boss, and you're still going to have these stability issues, so why not let people on low pop realms be able to come over? On low pop realms, it can sometimes be hard to assemble a full 40-man raid for Shaw of Anger, let alone 2-3 full raids for Undasta. So, how exactly will low-pop realms be able to even fight this boss? I'm not sure, and I'm hoping that this is only a temporary change. With group questing mostly eliminated from World of Warcraft, a major point of the cross-realm zone system was to implement things like world bosses back into the game. This loot hotfix directly counters the spirit of why the CRZ system was put in to begin with. Now, to be fair, Ghostcrawler did tweet that ideally it's just a temporary solution, and that they're trying to discourage everyone from jumping to the first realm where Nalak appears. I really do hope that's the case, and I hope those of you on low-pop realms are able to do your best to band together to take down these bosses with the odds literally stacked against you. Oddly enough, Nalak could possibly be the last boss in 5.2 killed at this rate, since it won't be available until Stage 5 of the Isle of Thunder. Meanwhile, Progression Raiders are hard at work racing for a World First Rod End kill. It's time to take a look at that and more as we go around the World of Warcraft in 80 seconds. As of Sunday, March 17th, European Raiding Guild Method was leading the progression race, having downed 10 out of 13 heroic bosses in the Throne of Thunder. Blood Legion and Dream Paragon are close on their heels with 9 out of 13 down. Best of luck to everyone working on that content. Starting today, the second wing of 5.2 Raid Finder content is now available. Raiders will need to clear the last stand of the Zandalari once before they're able to queue for the encounters in the Forgotten Depths. Dave Kozak stated in an interview with the German fan site Buffed that there will be no additional Fi-Man dungeons added during Mists of Pandaria. Players will, however, see new challenging scenario content with rewards that match that difficulty. Free character realm transfers are available until March 21st from select high pop realms to specific low pop realms. Check the World of Warcraft official site for details. Greg Street, aka Ghostcrawler, confirmed in an interview with the Call to Auction podcast that cross-realm auction houses are being explored. This would not be region-wide, but balanced like cross-realm zones are. Windwalker monks for a short time were dealing insane amounts of damage due to a bug which was corrected amongst a number of other hotfixes applied last week. I'll include a link to the most recent hotfixes in the show notes. And finally, a tweet from Dave Kozak indicated that Brawler's Guild content may see additional bosses added to it in the 5.3 content patch. And that's your news. I'll be back with the Podcast of the Week interview after these words from Epic Podcast.
Howdy folks, Metacakes of Lignar here from Epic Podcast, and we wanted to take a moment to tell you about an event that's coming up.
On April 6th, we're going to hold a 24-hour live stream to raise money for Child's Play Charity.
Child's Play is a charity that works with the staff of over 70 hospitals worldwide to give games, toys, books, and other fun stuff to kids they're caring for.
We want to game with you as much as possible during the marathon, but we're also holding a pet battle tournament and a StarCraft Heart of the Swarm tournament. The prizes include a Mesopandaria Collector's Edition, in-game pets, mounts, donations on your behalf, Jinx.com gift cards, as well as a lot of other prizes.
Registration is now open for tournaments. You can send an email to epicpodcastpluspets@gmail.com for rules and instructions on how to enter the Pet Battles tournament, and epicpodcastplushots@gmail.com for the Heart of the Swarm tournament.
It all starts at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Savings Time on Saturday, April 6th. We're really looking forward to helping raise awareness and money for this very worthwhile charity, as well as seeing you during the marathon. Till next time, have fun and wow, y'all.
Bye-bye.
The My Epic Heels podcast hits the 50-episode milestone this week, which is a bit more significant than you may think when you consider the show releases every other week. After 2 years of gathering a variety of voices to talk about all things healing, the current team heads forward into Patch 5.2 content as part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. Today I'm happy to have one of the first hosts of My Epic Heels, Wolfshade the Druid. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I also have the most recent addition to the team to talk about the show, Patango the Monk. How you doing, sir?
You mean I'm not part of the original crew?
Unless you were Eden disguised with an accent all this time and you have a cloning device, I don't think so.
I thought we made the show because of me. No, I'm kidding. It's been great. It's been a good ride so far.
Well, I thank you both for being on to talk about this, and I would have had all four of you, but real life scheduling conflicts, these things happen. But I'm sure I'll have a chance to talk with Eden and Dobie at another time. I'm glad you two can make it. So, Wolf, we'll start at the beginning, like I do with every other show I interview here. What inspired you and E to start up My Epic Heels way back in episode one?
Well, the co-conspirators really were Eid and Kuboy Fox, I guess, had a discussion that they wanted to do a podcast. The two of them and myself were sort of around at the onset of Eid's current raid team called If Looks Could Kill. And they just were, you know, coming up with the idea that it would be fun to do that. Eid had done a podcast once in the past about something completely unrelated to WoW. And they knew I had experience from all my audio drama and story stuff that I do. So they asked me if I would be interested in doing all the work. And I said, oh, sure, why not? I thought it would be cool. I liked a lot of different WoW shows. They were fun. There wasn't really a healing one out there, so we just started at that point. We picked up another priest, Pastor Metro, at the beginning, but Pastor and Fox didn't last very long, so the cast has evolved quite a bit over the 2 years we've done it.
So yeah, it has been pretty crazy. I can say, sorry, just what I think is quite an interesting thing is everyone seems to think that it's each show. And then everyone's quite surprised when I say, no, it's Wolfshade that does all the editing and behind-the-scenes work for it.
I'm the producer. He's yeah. The comic relief. He's the color.
There you go.
It's very true. That is our read.
For the first 20 episodes, it was kind of a rotating group of people. You had, at the start, around episode 20, you had Adobe and Buck added in, and Patango joined the crew around episode 37. I did a little bit of research.
Have I actually been on it that long?
That's why I find a little crazy, because I remember, you know, when I was first starting Realm Maintenance and doing, you know, podcast news for different shows and first mentioning you being on My Epic Heels. And yeah, it's been 13 episodes. It's pretty crazy how much time's gone by.
I can't believe it's been that many. If you said I'd been on there for five, I would have thought, yeah, that's about right. But since then, 14 episodes. Wow, that's gone quick.
Absolutely. Well, Patango, since My Epic Heels started, there's been a couple other podcasts of popped up that have been, you know, healing specific, but just in general, if you could talk about the show nowadays and kind of its general format. Obviously it's about healing, but in a typical show, what are you guys talking about, and how do you think My Epic Heels separates itself from similar shows?
I don't really think we ever have a set thing to talk about. We sort of then just, I don't know, we meet up at 5 in the morning my time, and we usually have maybe 2-3 minutes chat before the show and then decide what we're going to talk about.
Well, we try not to be a news show because there's a couple reasons for that. One, that's a decent amount of prep work, and I do enough other shows that I can't spend all my time on this one. Secondly, we record Sundays, and I tend to release it a week later, just because my week gets really slammed from Monday to Thursday. And if we recorded on Friday, I'd get it out within a couple days, but it's just the way that we record and the way my schedule is. It's no way for the recording to be recorded right before the show comes out. So it ends up being the kind of thing where we have to be careful about talking about something that's too current because it'll come out a week late. So we're not trying to be a news show. It's more about talking healing with a bunch of guys that enjoy healing, one from each class. Hopefully we tend to focus here and there on different classes and what we do, but it's more the culture of it. Just people hanging out, talking about sort of what's on their minds, very free form.
Well, I think that within itself is what, you know, separates us from other shows. The fact that we have this round table discussion with, you know, totally different aspects of the game. But I think because we're only talking about healing, that does then limit, you know, what we can talk about. And by having, you know, the round table, I think it sort of takes away that, I don't know how to put it, but it takes away from that to the point where, you know, that becomes a podcast, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because we're talking about it very, I suppose, randomly and blasé. You know, we're not focusing, right, this week we're going to talk about one subject and only that subject. We sort of then go here, there, and sort of just talk about what we've been doing in-game. It's a conversation that's pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I've listened to, obviously, I don't play a healer as a main myself. I do have an alt that has healed some during the whole Firelands and Dragon Soul time, and I'm slowly working on getting my Mistweaver up to level 90. I haven't done a heck of a lot of healing, though. So, would you, just out of curiosity, would you guys say that non-healers would, you know, be interested in this show or pick up or learn anything from what you guys talk about?
I think even non-healers would have a cool time listening to us, to be fair. Just for the reason, you know, we sort of talk and we don't, because we sort of, you know, we mess around and have a bit of a joke on the show. It's just nice to listen to for that reason. But I suppose anyone that's, you know, new to healing, then yeah, no, I'd say for sure. I think listening to people who do it on that, you know, next, well, I say next level, but I suppose all of us are like seasoned healers and, you know, sort of, I find listening to people like that sort of then pumps you up thinking, man, I wish I was doing stuff like that. And then sort of listening, you sort of get to pick up the tips and tricks from people who know these classes and what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think our most common email to the show will have somewhere in there a comment about how the show got them to focus on a healer as their main when it hadn't been. So there are definitely people that are curious about healing that listen and kind of, our hope is that what they get out of it is they get a sense of what the game is like from a healer's perspective, like what kinds of things you're thinking about, what kind of things you're doing. It is a different game. I mean, there's a bit more pressure because you have to be more reactive. So some people are, you know, number crunchers that really like maximizing their DPS and doing certain things and having just a plan and how to go into a fight. And healers are just more freeform, and it's a different kind of game. That's kind of how we've expressed it. And some people like it, some people don't, but we've found that hearing people just discuss healing in the different classes has inspired a lot of people to at least play around with it. In game.
From just based on your feedback, I'm curious, what do most people tend to ask you questions about when it comes to healing? Is there a specific class they're asking you questions about? Is there a specific part of healing that they tend to ask for advice on?
I think unless there's been a major change to that healing class, then it depends. I mean, like each week, you know, we'll get different questions in for different classes, but if there's been a major change for, say, Mistweavers, then I think we start to get more Mistweaver orientated questions as opposed to other ones, because, you know, that's the bigger change, and because there's been a change, you know, people want to know what we're doing and things like that. Well, that's I don't know, that's what I seem to think anyway. I'm not allowed access to the emails because they don't trust me.
Well, I think that the most common classes are Shaman and Paladin that we get. But they're all represented. Yeah. I think the questions tend to cycle because if we're really had a couple episodes where we focused on Priest and Druid, you tend not to get too many questions about them because we just covered it. So it kind of cycles. Sometimes it has to do with fights. Sometimes it has to do with just how do I become a better healer? You know, there are a few that are more advanced and talking about very specific things or maybe commenting on something that they think we missed. But a lot of our feedback comes from people that are not on the hardcore end of the spectrum and are curious about different classes. And it's very common to be asked which one's the best one, which of course there's no answer to. We always try to answer that with, well, if you like this style, try this one. There's no right answer.
There is a right answer. Mistweaver. No, I'm kidding. Sure.
And it should be noted, for people who haven't heard you guys before, you guys can, from time to time, get a little explicit about stuff. So
Ede brings random
not us.
Sexual comments out. Ede is looking to inject comedy all the time. I think he listens to Rogan too much.
Yeah, he does.
Right. I heard on a recent episode, Ede had said something to the effect of, for every 30 seconds that he doesn't say anything, that builds up to a point where he's just going to have to say something absolutely off the wall.
Yeah, that sounds like Ede.
But it's all in good fun, and I have had a few laughs, especially when Ede says something on the show.
But yeah, we do tend to go explicit. We're not afraid to be kind of edgy with that stuff. I edit the show, so there are things that I have cut out before, but I usually let it through. If we get complaints about something, we certainly never would want to offend anyone or make them uncomfortable, but
sure.
At the same point, there is a certain maturity that we expect from, and we found from our audience, so we don't really worry about things like sex jokes and things like that.
Right. I understand that. Since the show's called My Epic Heels, it would be silly of me to not ask this next question for each of you, and we'll start with Patango. What would you say was your most epic healing moment in World of Warcraft?
Oh, I have the perfect one. I think Wolf knows what's coming. We were two healing Elegon, as you do, and Wolf went down for the second phase, and I was just like, I've got this, and went through and solo healed the second phase when Wolf went down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Because he did not hear the end of it.
How about you, Wolf?
I think that one time where I won gear against Patango, probably. We share. We're both leather workers, leather wearers, so we're always competing for gear. And Patango's about 10 item levels ahead of me right now, the bastard. I still out heal him.
Try deep for me, man.
I really appreciate all the answers he gave to my questions, guys. I was wondering if other people want to check out your show, find out more about it, or get a hold of you guys via Twitter or email questions to the show. Wolf, could you tell people how everyone can get a hold of you?
Yep. The email for the show is myepicheels@gmail.com. My Twitter handle is @Wolfshade, WOLFSHADE. There's also an @MyEpicHeels handle. We kind of share that, and you might go a few days without somebody taking their turn to look at it. So personal contact will get you through faster. But think that's about it.
I'm not trusted with that one either.
Well, I can give it to you.
I'm not trusted with the email. I'm not trusted with the Twitter.
We also have forums. We're part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. Mm-hmm. And we have some forums on there. And we get questions through email. We get questions sometimes through comments on the myepicheels.com page, which is not the best way to reach us. We don't always see those. Because the way that they get forwarded to the emails are really weird. I guess occasionally people... I love it if somebody records a question to an MP3 and sends it in. But that hasn't happened in a while.
Gotcha. So they want to go to forums.signalsmedia.com and check out your forum there, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, I do appreciate the time that you took to be on the show this week. I'm going to take us out with a couple of minutes from your most recent episode, and I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hope it's not easy.
See ya.
Welcome to My Epic Heals.
Welcome.
The podcast for all things healing in the World of Warcraft.
I'm not too into the meters and haven't been for a little while now. Maybe I'm just a bad healer and I don't want to admit it. But for the sake of argument and to keep me relevant, I'm going to say that I conserve mana and I don't use a lot of heals, so I'm not at the top of the charts. But I do see paladins really rocking it right now. I mean, paladins seem to be just massacring everything right now. E, do you feel that way?
Well, I was just looking. My mic turned around here. Sorry. Rocks shifted. Just looking at world logs at the different fights, looking at 10-man normal anyway, since maybe that's what we do the most of. Looking at Terrace, Heart of Fear, Mogchon Bolt. I see Holy Paladins. Yeah, a lot of Holy Paladins. And then probably next, I see, this surprising, Disciplined Priests.
That surprises you? Doesn't surprise
you? Well, because of Spirit Shell.
Yeah, Spirit Shell puts them on top for a lot of fights.
Right. I keep yelling at my Holy Priest and my raid to go Discipline.
So a lot of paladin, a lot of disciplined priests. There's a, you know, some certain fights where you'll see another class shine, but that's what I'm seeing a preponderance of for sure.
That seems to be how it has been this whole patch.
I think holy paladins are always going to be strong because I think they're the fallback class for Blizzard. They kind of say, well, if all else fails, we're going to make sure that paladins work, and they're sort of the baseline. And then some people will be healing better than paladins and some people worse. But that's my perception anyway, is that Blizzard always makes sure that the paladins are working okay and are slightly OP. For better or worse.
Yeah. And then druids, you know, druids are meh.
They're not looking that good, really. At least 10 man normal. I don't see, you know, very, very little.
And these are people trying to top the charts. So they're probably doing mechanics.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, this is. Yeah, I mean, it's not
really isn't a metric that helps anybody.
Yeah, not a great metric, but you get a sense of who's really strong maybe right now, who's able to game the system.
Hi, this is DTD from the Sheep Moon and WoW Uncensored podcast, and you're listening to Realm Maintenance with Ro. Hey, Ro, why don't you go ahead and banish that diamond, but don't you dare break that sheep.
Thanks again to Wolf and Patango for being on the show this week. I really enjoyed the interview with them, which in its entirety lasted for about half an hour. You can hear the full interview with plenty more healing talk at realm-maintenance.com later in the week. Let's move on to podcast news. Congratulations to the Team Waffle podcast, which also released episode 50 of their show. This week, Reese returns to talk about 5.2, hotfixes, and Throne of Thunder. Find this show on iTunes and teamwafflecast.com. Convert to Raid has not one, but two new podcast ventures to introduce to you. Later this week, you should be able to find the Convert to Raid 2 podcast content on iTunes. 2 is spelled T-O-O, not the number 2. In addition to that, the Convert to Raid Guild now has its own podcast that will come out with new shows every other week. If you're part of the CTR Guild or simply curious about it, check out episode number 1 of The Converted with hosts Sal and Belschnickel. You can find your way to both of these podcasts along with Convert to Raid itself at converttoraid.com. After a night of raiding, the hosts of Azeroth Pirate Radio gather for their first official episode. Q talks up his bathroom renovation and how he does or doesn't get time into game, Somnar discusses the challenges of preparing for a baby and working in WoW dailies, and Seraphis complains about not being able to make bacon but having too many games to play. Find episode 1 of this new WoW podcast at azerothpirateradio.com. Episode 48 of the Call to Auction podcast is a big one, featuring a review of the answers that the hosts received from Blizzard regarding their views on the auction house, professions, and other related topics regarding the WoW economy. There's some great info to be heard here, so check it out at calltoauction.blogspot.com. The crew at Vote to Kick took a week off so Sin could enjoy his vacation and Akari couldn't mess up editing. Episode 53 is focused on PvP content and skirmishes, with a dash of League of Legends talk on the side. Find this show on iTunes or listen live at twitch.tv/vote2kick. The hosts of the Horde House podcast are participating in the MS Walk in Sacramento to raise money and awareness for the National MS Society Fund. This is a cause that the hosts can rally behind for very personal reasons. To find out more about this and how you can help support the cause, listen to episode 98 of Horde House on iTunes and hordehouse.com. Happy anniversary to the folks at the Darkmoon Herald for their one-year anniversary this week. A happy anniversary is occasion enough to summon up the Shaw of Happiness on episode 46, which can be found at darkmoonherald.com. Are you ready for another new WoW podcast? The hosts of Ready Check hope you are. Now, if you've been listening to the WoW podcast for a while, keep in mind this is an entirely new Ready Check podcast and no relation to the old Ready Check show. Find out more about the hosts, the show, and what they're loving about Patch 5.2 at readycheck.co.uk. Follow the show on Twitter at ready_check. Low Pop WoW episode number 3 focuses on PvP on low population servers. Hathor will have guests from the Malorn and Torthrelden realms, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some talk about the recent loot changes made to Undasta and Nalak as well. Find episode 3 of this show at lowpopwow.com. If you're thirsty for a drink from the Mana Cooler, George has you covered with episode 176 of the show. Find out what George has been up to over the last few weeks at themanacooler.com. And finally, last week, Stompaline and Halfrot unveiled a brand new look to the Rarcast website, and they're looking for your feedback. Check out the site at rarcast.com and send any feedback or questions you have for Stomp and Half to HugeSack at rarcast.com.
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoW Podcast.
When I began this podcast, the primary goal was to better help connect the podcast community. Help people find new shows, celebrate WoW podcasts that have been around for a while, and provide a service to podcasts to promote their productions whether they were part of a network or not. I'm not alone when it comes to this vision, and just a couple of weeks ago, WoW podcaster Ian Bergen introduced an initiative to help the WoW podcast community even further. A couple of days ago, I had a chance to speak with him for a few minutes regarding #WoWP5. So, Ian, you do a couple of different WoW podcasts. You have A Paladin's Tale and Level 90 Undead Rogue. So you're familiar with WoW podcasting and the WoW podcast scene. I'm wondering what exactly inspired you to do WoW P5, and if you could go into a bit more detail about what WoW P5 is.
Okay, WoW P5, just to sort of break down the acronym first, is basically World of Warcraft podcasts, and to name five of them. The purpose of it is that the World of Warcraft podcast community is fairly tight. A lot of people check out other people's podcasts, and the entire point of it is for everyone to bring everyone forwards. The idea for where it actually came from, sort of without sounding like a fanboy, is it came partially from Realm Maintenance, from yourself, from a plea made at the end of one of your shows. But it was also more inspired by Thane, and everyone knows him, the best paladin in the world. An amazing guy, if you can sort of see past the video persona that he puts out. An amazing guy, just really smart, really intelligent. And he had this project on YouTube called Together to the Top, which was about getting the YouTube community to come together in the face of the fact that YouTube was being overrun commercially, and sort of the people that made YouTube what it is were being lost in that mix. And it was to make YouTube a cohesive community by people saying, hey, we're all a community, let's all cross promote each other, and then we get to beat down the commercial aspect of that at the same time. Well, there's no real commercial aspect to what we do in podcasts. The sort of the idea remains the same. It's about community rounding together and going, hey, podcasting is now becoming very, very very polluted space in terms of like just the amount of them, and then you've got commercial radio stations dropping podcasts in as well, so you're competing for either time when people are on the treadmill, people are in their car, they're on public transport, walking their dogs, going to the store, in the middle of like classes when they should be doing classes. I'm not advocating that by any means. you're competing for the time there, and so it's about the World of Warcraft podcast community also then reaching out past its natural borders to getting the player base to recognize, hey, there is a World of Warcraft podcast community and you should totally check it out.
Now, specifically, I know one thing I remember you touching on when you were talking about this and introducing this is that you wanted to put a bit more of a focus on the podcasts out there that people may not necessarily have heard of. Now, we have those bigger shows out there that a lot of people in the podcasting community have heard of. The instance Converter Raid, shows like that, a lot of people don't realize that. There's practically near 100 other shows out there, so you really wanted to put more of an emphasis on the smaller shows, right?
Yeah, and this is done with absolutely no disrespect intended towards the bigger show. I am a huge fan of the bigger shows. I listen to the Darkmoon Heralds, the instances, the Converter Raids. Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with the sort of, and I use this term very loosely because I don't particularly like it in any respect, is the quote-unquote known celebrities within the WoW podcast community, like the Eludras, Kevin L. Scratches, Apsanas, and those kind of guys. They are already established and they've known, but there's so many small podcasts out there that come up that are utterly incredible at what they do. It's very difficult for even them to get a kind of a spotlight because, it's difficult to grow an audience, and I know this from my own experience, and number two, it's very, very difficult to even get noticed when there's again, there's only a very small percentage of the player population for World of Warcraft that actually even know podcasts exist, let alone the fact that they know that, say, sites like MMO Champion exist, or the Tank Spot, for God's sake, even exist. So
sure.
it's again, you're trying to do is, by when you bring along the, and this sounds really commie, but it's not meant to be, when you bring along the weaker parts of any part of a community and you make them strong and you empower them, you, by extension, empower the entire community and bring that as a whole forward, because it becomes stronger. And it becomes stronger by the fact there is more active contributors and more people going, hey, maybe I could get into this. And then they start recommending it by conversations with their guild members, either online or offline, especially guild members who are friends. Like my own guild, a lot of them don't even know WoW podcasts exist. And they're like, Ian, you do a WoW podcast? I'm like, I actually do two of them. And they think that's impressive, let alone one, I do two, and that World of Warcraft podcasts exist. So again, it's just about, we are a small community. There is a much larger volume of people to reach, and you can only reach those people when everyone in the community goes, hey, there's a great opportunity here, and it's about seizing that opportunity.
Right. And not only that, what a lot of people may not realize is when it comes to, you know, promoting your show and getting word about your show out there, that does take some amount of time and commitment and energy toward, you know, getting the word out about the show. It's one thing to put the show together, but then just letting people know about it, that's an entire project in and of itself that has, I'm all well too aware of. So having other people kind of help in a kind of a grassroots PR campaign for all the WoW podcasts out there is definitely a great thing. The last thing I'd like you to tell people is basically, how can they get involved and be a part of WoW P5?
To get a part of WoW P5, number one, you don't even need to have a podcast to take part in WoW P5, and that's the beauty of this. Okay, you don't need to be a contributor to a show. You can be a blogger, you can be a player who checks it out. It doesn't have to be limited to Twitter. You can use your Facebooks, you can use your Pinterest boards, you can use your Google Pluses. The entire point of there is to recommend to people who don't know and aren't familiar Fife Eater podcasts in World of Warcraft that you listen to, or a mix of World of Warcraft blogs that you're interested in, and recommend them to people. Again, it's like recommend to a friend. More people will uptake based on a recommendation of a friend, and that's the entire point of this. And we all have in-game friends, so recommend to them. And all they need to do is, whenever they take fancy to it, on Facebook or on Google Plus or Twitter or any other social networks, they all now seem to basically take off hashtags in one way, shape, or form, is to recommend people towards five resources, podcasts or blogs, and use the hashtag WoWP and the number 5, and to do it as often, and recommend them to share it. And if you're a podcaster yourself, do some bumpers for these guys. It doesn't take too long to do bumpers. I've knocked up like 11 bumpers in the last couple of days, and I have a whole heap of others I'm doing as well. Knock together some bumpers to say, hey, this is such and such from such and such podcast, you're listening to X, Y, or Z as part of WoW P5, and send it out to people. People love this kind of stuff, and it's good because, again, when those lesser podcasts take it up, it gives them some sort of credibility, and people go, hey, well, this dude's recommending it, I should totally check this out in the future.
That sounds great, and I really do hope that this catches fire. I mean, I'm already starting to see WoW P5 show up on Twitter a fair bit in this past week, and I'm hoping that talking about this on Realm Maintenance helps to further that, helps get the movement going, help it spread like wildfire. With what I do with Realm Maintenance to try to promote other shows out there, both big and small, it really makes me happy to see someone else taking the torch and doing something like this. And Ian, thank you very much for spending a few minutes to be on the show this week and get the word out about WoW P5. I hope many more people follow in your example.
I hope so too. Thanks for having me on, Ro.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and get back to farming giant dinosaur bones. Just make sure you don't farm up the bones that were left behind by Undasta wiping the raid. Alright, some shameless plug time. This week you can find me as a guest on Sundering 123 and Holyshat 77. Also, if you ever wondered what an episode of Realm Maintenance would be like if the show interviewed was Realm Maintenance, then check out episode 19 of the Montgomery Manifesto, a podcast hosted by Mick Montgomery from the Starting Zone podcast. You can find that show at manifestoshow.wordpress.com. Thanks to Hathor for leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Feel free to leave your review of the show there whenever you can. Whether it's 5-star, 4-star, or otherwise, I'll give you a shout-out on the show. Realm Maintenance can also be found on Stitcher Radio, so be sure to thumbs up the show this week if you like what you're hearing.
If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a commercial to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @realmpodcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, the podcast of the week spotlight falls on another milestone for a WoW podcast as I interview some of the hosts from Horde House days before episode 100 of their show is recorded. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. Realm Maintenance is a World of Warcraft podcast by Ro, copyright 2013. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Wolf and Patango for being on the show this week. Thanks to Jan for editing portions of this show, and thanks to you for listening. Realm Maintenance is sponsored and hosted by SafeShark Hosting. With affordable plans starting as low as $8 a month, SafeShark Hosting will work with you to seamlessly transfer your current blog or podcast site or start up a new one. The customer service is great, and Realm Maintenance is a very satisfied user of their services. Hosting doesn't have to bite. Go to SafeSharkHosting.com to learn more about the services offered. There are plenty of fish in the sea, but there's only one SafeShark. Follow SafeShark Hosting on Twitter at @SafeSharkHost.
You are not prepared!
And of course, during a time in which there's heroic raid progression going on, there's bound to be some breaking news and updates, and that requires me to hop in with a quick little hotfix for my news segment. As of right now, which is 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday, the 10-player raid team from Dream Paragon has downed every heroic encounter except for Lei Shen and Ra Den. Right behind them are the 25-man raid teams from Method and Blood Legion with 10 out of 13 heroic bosses down. Best of luck to all three teams, and for all I know, by the time you hear this, someone's already gone all the way, so we'll see what happens. Talk to you guys next week. Take care.